Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights. Thanks, sponsors. Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentication, CompC.com, Burbank Sports Cards, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Heritage Auctions, Huggins Scott Auctions, Topps, Panini, and Upper Deck. Today is my birthday, and so I feel a greater liberty to do a more personal episode. I'm going to review jobs I had, my experience with money, how I got some money. I have money now, but I didn't always. I've always been a get-rich-slow guy, but I started slow. It seems like I never had enough money when I was a kid, couldn't buy the cards that I wanted. That is a story that is repeated so many times. Sometimes it's to get money to buy the cards that you coveted in the 70s or 80s or 90s or whatever. Anyway, I was motivated to at least not be poor, let's say. It wasn't necessarily get rich, but to not be poor. This is my work history, and I'm trying to give you a few sports card insights along the way. First of all, I was allergic to grass, so I never did lawn mowing. I never was a paper boy. I never liked to ask for business, and I hated to collect money, and I was not a morning person. Other than that, I'm sure I would have liked the physical work of delivering the papers and the routing and all that. I did have a sharp eye. I've always had good vision, so occasionally I'd run across the empty pop bottles that had a 2 cent or 5 cent deposit, and so if you pick them up, you could take them into the store, and I never got money back. I always turned them in for cards and get a pack or two. I rarely bought penny packs. It was nickel packs. I'm sure I got a small allowance from my parents when I hit teen or preteen, but I don't remember it. Presumably, I wasn't asking them for money. Did I get a quarter a week or a month? It wasn't very much. And if I think how strict they were on me just because I was the firstborn, I'm sure my dad was way not as tough as his father was on him from knowing that story too. So I never had a savings account. I never had any extra money when I was living at home. So I never had any money anybody could steal. And I really couldn't misplace my money because I didn't have any. But one time I did. This had to be in the 50s. Our family got some 1939 Encyclopedia Britannica. They may have been my dad's when they were clearing things out. Then at some point, I got a $20 bill for Christmas from my grandfather. I didn't know what to do with it. I wasn't going to buy cards. It was too much money. I'd never had that much. So I stuck it in the Encyclopedia Britannica. A very safe place, so safe that I never did find it. A year later, I couldn't find it. So moral of that story is don't hide things too well. What's the worst thing that could have happened? My brother's a really honest guy. I never misplaced my cards. I didn't hide my cards. The cards I'd gotten from my dad went up on the shelf in the closet. Nobody messed with those. The only time I had a problem was I've told the story. My mom threw away my dupes when I forgot to put them away. Okay. In high school, I had a series of terrible jobs, which is basically to convince you, I guess, to go to college in some cases. The worst one was working on a garbage truck for the city in the summer. And after about 5 weeks, I think I got sick. There's just so much bacteria and toxins. And I'm looking back and I'm thinking, I wore the same gloves every day. It just unbelievable. I worked on the garbage truck, not the automated kind. You had to ride on the side of the truck. You had to jump off, take the bins, and they weren't the uniform ones, and you'd have to dump them in there, and they'd get compacted. So that was half a summer for me. Also worked in a lumber yard. Again, this is in Tyler, Texas. Super hot. June and July, I was there about 6 weeks. I'm a very loyal person. I hang in there, but there was a railroad crash. We were offloading, and the lumber truck, the older guy I was working with, had parked his truck, barely peeked over the railroad tracks as it's coming through town. I was offloading lumber, big, long 2x6s. I had just stacked some down and was walking away from the accident. When the train hit, I went flying. But what do you land in a lumber yard? You land in sawdust. So I could have been hurt really badly, but I was blessed to be walking away from the accident. I got hit and I landed on all fours in a pit of sawdust. So what a blessing. Also worked on a water well for about a week, and that was a bad idea. Let's just say I didn't pass my probation period. I look back and I think I'm too analytical. I'm not that mechanical. I was asking too many questions. It just wasn't a good fit. The lesson there is if you're going to fail, fail fast. Don't spend all summer in something that you're not good at. Try to find the next thing. And all the while during this summer, I was playing tennis. Probably could have gotten a scholarship to a Division II or Division III or something like that. So played a lot of tennis, but so much tennis that I burn out. Even the jobs I had in the summer, I was playing tennis pretty much every day. I really enjoyed my college experience, and it was more than just going to school. SMU was a great environment. I have lifelong friends from there. My parents paid my tuition. But you know, you got to have spending money and stuff like that. So I was a tennis assistant at a local country club. I just do odd jobs around there, help the pro, sometimes hit with the wealthy members. And you always hear customers are always right. No, but wealthy customers are always right, or a multitude of customers are. I worked at Starkist Tuna one summer and two Christmas times out in California when my parents had moved out there on Terminal Island. My first experience with a very ethnic hiring hall where you just showed up at 5 o'clock in the morning and then they would look the room over and there'd be 100 guys there and they just size you up and pick a few. And then you go home if you didn't get picked. And the next day they'd pick some more. I think I had to show up there for a week for them to see it because I probably looked different. It was a very dirty, stinky job, but everybody was judged not by your pedigree, but by your attitude, your work ethic, and your results. I really enjoyed that job, but all the clothes I wore that summer had to be burned, I think. Also in college, I was an intramural assistant. I didn't ask for the job, but I was just always at the gym, hanging out, playing basketball and stuff. And one of the faculty members there that's still a good friend said, "Hey, would you like to get paid for being here and just supervising, making sure fights don't break out and locking up, stuff like that?" The reason a lot of guys went to this gym is the dirty secret was the baskets were about 9 foot and the floor was very springy. So guys really like that aspect of it. I didn't apply for the job, like I said, but I was very reliable. And so many of the guys I worked with there that had that same job have been lifelong friends because we were kindred spirits. I graded math papers. I got $1 per section. So that'd be like 20 students, say there's 5 problems each. These are calculus or integrals, different things that were undergraduate, but not beginning math. And so essentially I was getting a penny a problem to review and correct. And there's some secrets. One is I work backwards. And number two is I did the better students first. And so I did not lose money on that. I actually was not grumbling. That was easy money for me because I could easily size up where the problem was, where they made a mistake and just jot something very quickly. I was a waiter one night, just a one-night request, favor for a close friend. One of my roommates said, "Hey, a buddy's starting a restaurant. Could you come in? And they just need somebody." And I said, "I've never been a waiter. I don't really know what these are." This is the simplest waiter job you'll ever even hear about. There's only 2 items on the menu. It's hot dogs and beer. It's how many hot dogs, how many beers? And then you just go and you grab them and you bring them back. Now, that restaurant, obviously no longer there. They did expand the menu, but that one night gave me perspective that I don't want to be a waiter. I wouldn't be a good waiter either. I worked in a plant nursery. As you know, my personality, I wanted to know about all the plants. I wanted to be encyclopedic. If this had been a baseball card store, I would have been great because I know cards, but I didn't know all the plants. And I kept asking questions. And this was over Christmas. And so after a week or two, I went to my boss and said, "I'm not really enjoying that." And they said, "Well, we're not really enjoying having you here. You're not a plant person." I said, "No, I'm a baseball card person." I did a marketing survey again for a friend. I guess guys knew that I wanted to make a little extra money. So I don't know that I made $10 for a Saturday to hang out at a fast food place and ask questions. One thing I learned there is that I was miserable because I had lots of ideas to improve the survey. As you would imagine from my training, the survey was way too long. And so people were refusing and it was extremely frustrating to me. They said, "Just fill out that this was done by some marketing agency." And it was frustrating. I got a small paycheck every month for writing sports stories in the SMU Daily Campus newspaper that came out once a week. I was the intramural sports editor for a couple of years. And it just was awkward because I was playing a lot of intramural sports. And it seemed inappropriate to mention myself if I won something. So I just would skate over that. And through it all in college, I don't remember having any kind of a day timer to keep track of what was going on. I just showed up in class for the classes. I showed up at night for the activities that I had. I don't remember being late, but I just did what I did. In grad school, I was getting $300 a month from my fellowship, which included my tuition. And I think they thought the $300 would keep us from needing to work so we could concentrate on our studies. I did well in my studies. I really got it. In grad school, you're picking the subjects you want to study because you're good at it and you like it and you see a future in it. But I did do extra stuff. So I umpired city league softball games, fast pitch, slow pitch. I was playing a couple nights a week and umpiring a couple nights a week. I got $10 a game. And this is about when I started buying and selling cards, mostly buying cards when I got in grad school, because that $300 a month and the umpiring and a few other things gave me a little bit extra money. I had a job one summer with the Dallas Police Department liaison. They were having EEOC problems with not having enough African-American police officers. It's the early 70s. So that summer, I was the grad assistant on this high-powered team they had. I did a lot of the write-ups and everybody else got the credit, but I discovered what the problem was. If you were an African-American that wanted to work in the the police department, they didn't make it easy for it. And I went through all the hoops they went through other than being black. And I could see this is really difficult. I worked at Inland Container, which is a corrugated box plant slightly north of town. I did that for a couple summers. It's straddled over graduation, worked over Christmas a couple times too, worked on the corrugator, which is a tough job. Got the job on my own. One of my buddies said, hey, they're hiring, went up there. It wasn't a union place. The interesting things, that is the place where Gervis, my longtime friend and business partner, had made, he designed and made the first vintage 800 count boxes that fit 56 tops. Unfortunately, Gervis was trading 53 tops. He wasn't paying cash for these boxes. He'd get a pallet full of boxes and he'd ship them off to other store owners and things like that. But he was trading 53 tops. Bad idea there. I saw a horrific industrial accident when I was there, which again is telling me I don't want to work in something like that where accidents can happen. I was working on the second shift. Loved that because I was a night person more than a morning person. Started out being 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock. But then when they got behind, it was 3 o'clock to 1 a.m. Then it was 3 o'clock. They went two shifts of 12 hours and it was 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. That goes your social life and sleep too. Also in grad school, I taught a couple statistics courses on closed circuit TV to other universities, including an in-person classroom. And unfortunately, I uncovered a cheating scandal because I was so good at grading papers. I graded the papers and I realized, hey, these guys in this other remote campus, when they were off camera, they had the same mistakes. You get the right answer, then you can't be accused of copy. You get the wrong answer in a weird way. But that was swept under the rug by the universities involved because it would have reflected so poorly. I had them dead to rights. And it was unfortunate, but it told me there's a lot of politics on campus, of which the recent news, you know that. I was beginning the Statistical Consulting Center at two different universities. I started at SMU and then also at Bowling Green, where my job, I got paid to consult with other faculty and other grad students in other departments like psychology, sociology, different things. They needed help with the statistical aspects of their. I did some math tutoring, which was a high dollar hour if you got off campus. Sometimes these were older students that could afford to pay because they desperately had to pass some kind of statistics or math course to get their degree. I was in ROTC in grad school, so I actually got a small monthly stipend and got full-time pay for two summers in the Army. The great thing about being in the Army, you really can't spend the money. You're captive. You're living on base. At Fort Riley in Kansas was boot camp. I didn't really have time to do anything. But when I was at my officer branch course at Fort Bliss in El Paso, I actually did buy some vintage collections when I was there. I had a little extra money because, again, nothing to spend it on. And so I bought some great collections. Again, this is 1975. So when you're buying cards from the 50s, they don't seem so old because they're 20 years old. Then I didn't go into the reserves because they had too many surplus officers from the ending of Vietnam. Now into my regular careers, when I got out of grad school and was done with the military, I was a professor. But that's also when I started buying more cards because my first job as a college professor, I was making $15,300. That's $15,300. And that was for 8 months of teaching. I had summers off and probably a month off at Christmas and I couldn't spend it all. So I bought a lot of cards and I didn't have to sell as much. I got tenure, which gave me some preferred schedule. I love teaching grad students as well as undergrad. I was the inaugural teacher for the executive MBA, which they didn't tell me that was apparently the weed out course, but it wasn't weed out because I was trying to help. My goal as a teacher was to help the students pass, not to flunk them. And they were all older than me because I was 25 years old when I started. And by then I'm still in my 20s. And these were all executives who were full-time VPs at this very large automotive New York Stock Exchange company. Eventually I left for a sabbatical and didn't return except to visit my old friends. Then I went to work for a consulting firm that did expert witnessing and statistical consulting. I did about 100 federal class actions all over the country where I testified, especially in Washington, D.C., a lot of government agencies. And I realized the power of reputation and referrals. And a lot of this was employment discrimination. I got to see firsthand how not to run a company. The last year, as I was thinking about going off on my own to start Beckett Publications, I went independent and I realized that they weren't hiring the company. In many cases, they were hiring me. The company had a good reputation. You want that person that has that track record. So Beckett Publications was started in 84, and that was really to do the magazines because my first annual book was 79. So I was already really well known, but that was with the intention of having employees eventually. Chris Sewell is famous for collector, investor, dealer in that order, in that sequence. As a collector in the beginning, I bought cards that I needed. As an investor, next phase, I bought cards that I wanted, not just that I needed, but I thought were good value. And then the dealer part now is mostly selling. I do buy some cards, but it's mostly selling. 19 years ago, I retired. I'd been the author. I'd been a publisher. I'd been a president, CEO, business owner, but sold the business and retired. I've been doing a podcast for the last 5 years. Regular attendance at the big local shows. I don't want to say feasting on the dollar boxes, but I don't know that I'd say snacking on the dollar boxes, but I'm enjoying that. I don't have to buy anything, but it's fun to just graze through. Same thing at the National. I'm doing that, but I'm also catching up with old friends and systematically selling on ComC and eBay and having a good time. So I say I'm semi-retired. Does that mean I work half the time? No, it means I'm engaged. I do a lot of pro bono consulting for friends and friends of friends, strictly word of mouth. It's averaged about 200 consultations a year for the last 29 years. But probably going forward, I'm going to chop that in half. That's still 2 a week, and those are fun for me. And it's just not good to be disengaged. If my audience is older or younger, you can see from my story, it's hopefully a long ride and a long good ride that ends better than it begins. And so hang in there, enjoy the hobby, and I'll be back again in a couple of days. I'll be a year older and perhaps wiser. We'll see.